Vidunoti suhret satam.
Vidunoti suhret satam.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo
Om namo
bhagavate vasudevaya.
bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
vasudevaya. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1. Creation, chapter 15, the Pandavas retire timely. This is text number 8. And Arjuna is engaging in Lila Smaranam. He's remembering the pastimes, his association with Krishna. Yet sanidhavaham ukandavam agnayedam.
Yes.
Sannihadva mukhandavam avniyedam.
Indraṃ ca samaraganam tarasa
vijitya.
Labdha sabhamaya kṛtād-bhūta-śilpa-māyā.
Labhasthapamaya-kṛtā-bhūta-śilpa-māyā.
Digbyo haran nipatayo balim advarete.
Nidibhyo
Boliega.
Sannihadva mukandavam
agniyedam.
Indraṃ Labdha sabhamaya kṛtā bhūta-śilpa-māyā. Digbyo
Dig the bow
Aran Adhvarete.
Yad sanidhav ukandavam agnayedam.
Yad sanidhav
Indraṃ ca samaraganaṃ tarasā vijitya. Labdhāśabhamaya-kṛtād-bhūta-śilpa-māyā.
Labhasthapamaya-kṛtād-bhūta-śilpa-māyā.
Dikpo
haran nipatayo balim advarete. Yat sanidau aham ukandavam agnayedam.
Yat sanidavaham ukandavam agnayedam.
Indraṃ ca samaraganaṃ tarasā viditya.
Indraṃ ca samaraganaṃ tarasā viditya.
Indraṃ ca samaraganaṃ tarasā vijitya
natta sabhamaya kṛtat puta silpamaya
natta sabhamaya kṛtat puta silpamaya
dityo haran nipatayo balin ajarete
Digyo haran ripatayo balam advarete
Yatsani dabaham ukandavam agna yedam
Yatsani dabaham ukandavam agna yedam
Indram cha samarakanam tarasa vijitya
indam chasam raganam tarasa vijitya
labdha sabha maya krita bhuta shilpa maya
labdha sabha maya krita bhuta shilpa maya
Yo haran ripatayo balam advarete.
Yo haran ripatayo balam advarete.
Nice, Sri Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.
So, learning Sanskrit makes you have a great, of course, we have a great. It's like when you're a little child, you see people reading and stuff, and you want to read too. Because all these little, these wonderful stories are coming out of these books. And so you have the page in front of you, and you pretend you're reading, but you can't read. Yeah. So, anyway, we can, at least we go through the word-by-word meaning. Prabhupada has that. And there was a little book from Maya Vrindavan, which is a summary of the basic grammar. In my copy, I don't have it anymore. But it's very nice. All the set devotees who know Sanskrit, it was very nice, the little summary of everything. And it really helps you understand the basic grammar. And with that, you could just start picking up different things, as you saw in Prabhupada's word-by-word meanings.
All right, you teased us about that book before. How can we get a copy of it?
Yeah, I had a copy, and then I can't find my copy anymore. And the devotees, one devotee in South America has it, and I've been trying to get her to give me a copy. She keeps forgetting to do it, but it wasn't published again. It was published one time, and the devotee didn't do it again. Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
But if you just look at the words,
cheese.
Yeah. Well, maybe some devotee has it. It's very short, maybe about like 40. You know, half size, eight and a half by 11 pages, maybe about like 25, 30 pages. Yeah. But if you just look through it without going to the Prabhupada's word by word meanings, you probably pick up a lot of words. Yat, you know, whose, sunny dove, sun, sunny dove, close, aham, I am, ooh, means, oh my goodness. What does Kandavam mean? What do you think Kandavam means?
Well, the forest, but what does it mean? Kandava.
Yeah, maybe it means something like of the Kandava. And Agnaye, again, Agni, the fire, God, beginning. Sanskrit has these suffixes, to Krishna, from Krishna, with Krishna, at Krishna, by Krishna, Krishna, Krishnaya, Krishnena, Krishnas, yeah. So Agnaye probably means something like with Agni. Idam maybe means this. Indram, something to do with Indra. Cha, an. Samara, Ganam, maybe means people. Tarasa, I don't know. Maybe Tara, like to deliver, avatar. Vijitya, sounds like conquer. Labdha, probably means to obtain. Sabha, oh, so we obtained our assembly house. Sabha, krita, to do, advuta, wonderful, shilpa, that means like architecture. And now there's two kinds of maya here. There's maya, krita, advuta, shilpa, and maya, two long A's. Probably one refers to the illusion of the demon Maya who built it. Digbyo. Dig means directions, like Digvijay Pandit. Haran, I don't know. Nipatayo. Nipa means human beings or beings. So something in terms of the human beings. Okay, let's look and see what we got here. Yat.
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 Whose.
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 Whose. Sunny Dao.
Sunny Dao.
Yes.
Being nearby.
Being nearby.
Aham.
Sunny Dao.
Aham.
Myself.
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 Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh.
Note of astonishment.
No astonishment.
Kandavam.
Kandavam.
The protected forest of Indra.
The protected forest of Indra.
Indra.
King of heaven.
King of heaven.
King of heaven.
Agnaye.
Agnaye.
Unto the fire god.
Unto the fire god.
Yeah. So I guess Aye means unto. Adam.
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 Delivered.
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 Indram.
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 Indra.
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 Cha.
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 Also.
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 Sa.
Cha.
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 Okay. Along with.
Along with.
Along with.
Like Samba means with the mother.
So.
Amaraganam.
Amaraganam.
Okay. Amara means immortal. And Ganam means people. The demigods.
The demigods.
Tarasa.
Tarasa.
With all dexterity.
With all dexterity.
All dexterity.
So maybe that comes from ta and rasa, and making it along at the end makes it means with ta rasa. Vijitya.
Vijitya.
Having conquered.
Having conquered.
Labda.
Labda.
Having obtained.
Having obtained.
Sabha.
Sabha.
Assembly house.
Assembly house. Maya Krita.
Maya Krita.
Built by Maya.
Built by Maya.
Adbhuta.
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 Very wonderful.
Very wonderful.
Shilpa.
Shilpa.
Art and workmanship.
Oh.
Art and workmanship.
Maya.
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 Potency.
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 Digbya.
Digbya.
Yeah.
From all directions.
From all directions.
From all directions.
Vaishnava Bhyo Namo Namaha. So dig is directions and bhya. Sounds like from Aharan.
Aharan.
Collected.
Collected.
Hari takes away things. Nirpataya.
Nirpataya.
All princes.
All princes.
Princes.
Balim.
Balim.
Presentations.
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 Advare.
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 Brat.
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 Te.
Te.
Your.
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 Yat sanida bahamukandavam agnayedam indram chasamara ganam tarasa vijitya labda sabha maya krita bhuta shilpa maya digbyo haran patayo balim advare te. Yeah. And then the translation. I'm losing control of my computer. Because he was near me, it was possible for me to conquer with great dexterity the powerful king of heaven, Indradeva, along with his demigod associates, and thus enable the fire god to devastate the Kandava forest. And only by his grace was the demon Maya saved from the blazing Kandava forest. And thus we could build our assembly house of wonderful architectural workmanship, where all the princes assembled during the performance of the Rajasuya Yagna and paid you tributes. Jai. So Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.
So purport.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. So Prabhus, if we could all mute at this time, I'm going to mute those on free conferencing. And we have some new people, one or two new people here. So I, again, need to remind everyone that you need to mute yourself if you're on Skype. I can't do that for you. All I can do is hang up on you. So please mute yourself at this time so it's nice and quiet for Maharaj. Okay, just one moment, Maharaj. Okay, we're ready.
So one kind of technical point, we've been using WebEx, you know, for our conferences. I mentioned this before. And it's about $40 a year. But of course, if you're doing, you know, 30 classes a week, that's only $1 a class. And it allows up I think same as Skype, it allows up to 25 participants. But there the presenter has the ability to mute and unmute the microphones of each person. If anybody wants to talk, they have a little button they can click and their hand comes up next to their name. And then the presenter can say, well, 1 second, Prabhu. You know? And you can also, same thing as web, Skype, you can chat and stuff. But also you can record the whole thing like that. And you can play it back later with their player. Unlike Skype, with these conference calls, you can share your desktop. You can share any kind of application you're doing. If you have like a PowerPoint show, you can share it with everybody. Skype uses one channel for each person, so it's not as stable, whereas WebEx uses one channel for everybody, and because that is more stable and better quality. So maybe later on, you know, if we can make a demonstration, you see if you want to use it. One thing we do too is that one person is the presenter, and then one person becomes the chief guest. So he just responds to the verses and stuff like that, and it makes a very nice acoustical flow. And then the next day, that person becomes the speaker, like that. So it creates some continuity. So we've been experimenting a little bit like that. So maybe you want to, you know, try and go and change over to that system. Okay, purport. The demon Maya Danava was an inhabitant of the forest Kandava. And when the Kandava forest was set on fire, he asked protection from Arjuna. Arjuna saved his life, and as a result of this, the demon felt obliged. He reciprocated by building a wonderful assembly house for the Pandavas, which attracted the extraordinary attention of all state princes. They felt the supernatural power of the Pandavas, and thus, without grudge, all of them submitted and paid tributes to the emperor. The demons possess wonderful and supernatural powers to create material wonders, but they are always disturbing elements in society. So the first part of the purport, Prabhupada is talking a little bit about the in the history of Maya Danava. I'll talk a little bit more. I just did, you know, the web search here, and came back with some citations from the Mahabharata. But then, of course, the Wikipedia, you know, it's becoming our, you know, defeating everybody. I pay $50 a year to have access to the Encyclopedia Britannica, and there the contributors, of course, are a little bit more scholarly. And somebody asked the Britannica manager what was the relationship between the Britannica and the Wikipedia. And he laughed and he said, we're like the drill and they're like the chisel. And he said, both are very good. I use the Wikipedia myself, but I trust the Britannica for more accuracy. But although I've seen mistakes amongst them too, like that, scholars. So in the Wikipedia, different sources, I wasn't able to look at all of them. But there's the one Indraprastha, and that describes how the whole city of Indra was built. And I saw they collected the different citations from the Mahabharata that are here and there on the internet, and a variety of things. The Indraprastha, apparently, the Indraprastha forest was, Dhritarashtra. He told Yudhishthira the Pandavas, he said, I don't want to see any fighting between my nephews and my sons anymore. So I want to just divide things up nicely so everybody can have their own place to stay and nobody will fight. So I guess we'll stay here in Hastinapur, wherever it is, and you all can go to Indraprastha and take half the kingdom. So Yudhishthira said, okay, and went there. Of course, Indraprastha was a complete desert. It was like telling your sons, you guys can take California, and then, sorry, my sons will take California and Oregon, and you guys can take Utah and Arizona and New Mexico. Haribo, half for you. But because the Pandavas were so pious and everything else, that when they went there and started going to work, the whole place became very beautiful. And I guess who constructed Indraprastha? Maybe Maya did the whole thing. It wasn't just the Sabha. It wasn't just the assembly house. Or else maybe it was just the assembly house. Maybe later on somebody can clarify that. But there's a description of Indraprastha, and it was incredible. There was a moat around it as wide as the ocean, and with walls that went up so high they challenged the clouds, and it was being protected by, thousands of Kenkara warriors who are fearless and could travel in the sky. Sounds familiar, huh? So it was a very wonderful place with golden halls and everything else like that. We did some research on Vastu because we were thinking of trying to develop the preaching in that area. And it is nice, but I saw it was a very technical area. So basically what I have is a pretty good, pretty authentic introductory level. And even that is very useful, because Vastu, historically you can look at it, there's two sources of Vastu apparently left. One is from Maya Donava, and the other is from Vishvakarma. It's like the Maya Donava Samhita and the Vishvakarma Prakash or something, So there were three more authorities, but their texts kind of got lost before the beginning of the Christian era. The Pancha Siddhantika, the five texts were known. There's like a history of them, but only those two kind of survived, Vishvakarma Prakash and Maya Donava Samhita, or maybe reversed. And different people have taken those down and modernized them into what we have now as Emperor Bhoja, Varahamihara, into our modern times. And Vastu, it tells you how the different demigods, even the Bhagavatam is describing in one place how everything is divided up into a square, more or less. So your land should be square. The earth is represented by a square, fire is represented by a triangle, I think water is represented by a hexagon or something like that, air by a pentagon for air, and something like water, and air is a hexagon. But you can see that the earth is square, northeast, southwest. And even the ancient cities of Mohenjo-Daro and Harappa, which they date back, thousands of years before Christ, the foundations are still there. They were laid out in the same way exactly, and they had sewers and everything else. Very nice. So Bhagavatam, I think, is describing that the space can be divided into 8 by 8 squares, which is 64, of course. and there's a deity which predominates over each piece like that, you know. So maybe you don't want to divide your land up into 64 pieces. Maybe you only want to divide it up into 9 or something like that, you know, 3 by 3. Yeah, yeah. But then, of course, fire is in one section. The sunrise should face another section. The land should tilt a certain way. Water should be on a certain side. And it all has a very practical influence. If the land tilts toward the sunrise, you can see there's a definite feeling of everything being, you know, coming up, starting, fresh, growing. And then the closing, the mode of ignorance is behind you like that, and the mode of goodness is, you're facing that, you know. So my Adonibus thing was how to make buildings that are good for sense gratification and material enjoyment. Vishvakarma's thing was how to make things that are good for spiritual development, austerity, like that. So he was there. He was especially, you know, it says he was a Danava, so people say he was the son of Danu. But in the Mahabharata and other places, it says he was actually a son of Diti. So two different daughters, you know, two different wives of Daksha, you know, sons, daughters of Daksha, like that. So a little bit not sure about that. You know. But as the story goes, Arjuna, Agni wanted to eat the place to rejuvenate himself. Many nice herbs there and stuff he needed to get. All these things have their subtle connection as well as their gross connection. But every time he tried to eat it, Indra, who wanted to protect it, would come and shower it with rain, so Agni couldn't eat it. So I think Agni approached Arjuna and asked him. So then, and also because many of the demons who'd incarnated as, you know, humans and animals to avoid to take over the earth, you know, why Bhumi was in trouble, they were staying in the Kandava forest. So for many reasons, Krishna agreed and everything else. And Arjuna then covered the whole forest with a network of arrows so nobody could get out. The snake bird who killed Maharaj Yudhishthira, Taksha, he was off someplace else. He was off at Kurukshetra, so he wasn't caught there. But so many others were. And they all came to attack Arjuna with machine guns and rocket launchers, all these things, you know. But Arjuna kind of like laughed at them despicably and stopped them all, whatever. And then those that weren't killed by Arjuna were killed during the forest fire, you know, of Agni, like that. Yeah. And the snake bird, that's what he developed a real enmity towards the Pandavas and their descendants because of that, it says. Yeah. So maybe he was justified. So then, and this whole thing, Mayadana was about to be burned to ashes also, and he approaches Arjuna, which Prabhupada will explain here like that. So we go on here. But then Prabhupada has a little bit of a detail here about the material scientists. It says they felt the supernatural power of the Pandavas, and thus without a grudge, all of them submitted and paid tributes to the emperor. The American Empire was fighting with the Japanese Empire, and it was going back and forth. In the beginning, the Japanese were winning every battle, the Americans and the British and the Australians and the Canadians and everybody else were all losing in fair fights. They were losing, you know. So finally it came down to the battle, I think it was the Battle of Midway, which I guess is, I don't know what Hawaii is, what, about 3,000 miles in Midway? Midway is about 3,000 more or something. Maybe you know about this, maybe better than I do, you know. But the Japanese and the American navies fought it out. That actually was the Japanese plan, was just to stop there. They had no plan at the time of conquering Hawaii or anything else. But they wanted to establish the perimeter of their empire there and then develop their kingdom. I guess they're like the whatever. So a big battle went on, and maybe even just by fate or something like that, the Americans were able to win the Battle of Midway. And after that, they were forced the Japanese back from various steps, basically because they couldn't replenish rebuild their ships and stuff like that. And then finally, they ran out of gasoline. Yeah. So finally, they were going to drop the atomic bombs. They did on Japan, And when that happened, some of the Japanese still wanted to fight. But Emperor Hirohito, he said, the American divine wind has blown, and there can be no reply. So they also, in their culture, in their cosmology and everything else, had this appreciation for destiny. You know, the breeze is blowing in a certain direction. So there was this idea of divine wind. And so the same way, too, so it's not a matter that we should feel disgraced, because for Japanese culture, it's better to die rather than be disgraced. We shouldn't feel disgraced. There's no disgrace in submitting ourselves to somebody who is favored by destiny. Rather, it's a great honor. So it's here to say that all the kings felt the supernatural power of the Pandavas, and that's without grudge. All of them submitted and paid tributes to the emperor. Yeah, maybe even quite happily. The demons possess wonderful and supernatural powers to create material wonders. The demons possess wonderful and supernatural powers to create material wonders. But they are always disturbing elements of the society. The modern demons are the harmful material scientists who create some material wonders for disturbance in society. For example, the creation of nuclear weapons has caused some panic in human society. Maya was also a materialist like that. He knew the art of creating such wonderful things. And yet Lord Krishna wanted to kill him like that. So this is mentioned several times. Of course, the scientists say, well, we create these things, but we don't decide who's going to use them. We're not responsible. But Krishna didn't accept that. You know? Krishna said, no, you gave these things to these people. You have to have responsibility for the things you produce, like that. This is one principle the Bhagavatam in the very beginning says, we're interested in reality distinguished from illusion. Okay, that's the same goal as science. But then it adds, for the welfare of all. So this is, if science would just adopt this little principle that science has to have some moral and ethical principle involved in it, then it would be okay. You know, Charles Townes, this Nobel laureate, he invented the laser. We were working with him. And he said, people say that science is free from moral values. And he said, but truth is a very moral value. Of course, you know, we regraded that too. And in science, even to this day, if you're caught cheating, you're finished. You know, if you falsify some paper which you've submitted to a referee journal and everything else and you're caught, then practically speaking, as far as I know, you're finished. That's it. You won't get a position as a reputable scientist again for the rest of your life, most likely. So of course, they stretch the truth like anything, and they, you know, Dhritakarma and Sariputta in their book, The Forbidden Archaeology, that's the point they make, that something which they like, which supports their view of life, you know, they'll accept it. Something which they don't like, they'll require maybe 5 or 6 times more evidence before it's accepted as a fact. You know, but they don't directly lie about it. You know. So they have motivation. That's the whole thing, you know, motivation. And of course, Prabhupada says the harmful material scientists, and Srupa Damodar made that point, and Prabhupada made it too. He said, we're not against science. You know, science has done many wonderful things. But we're against it when it's materialistic, and then not only materialistic, but it's harmful, like that. You know? Of course, some people say the biggest inventions in the 20th century were atomic bombs and birth control pills, like that. And they both cause enormous changes in society. And as far as I know, they cause enormous problems in people's health and everything else like that. You know? The birth control, you know, pills, so on. So, of course, the whole big topic, maybe discuss more, but science, you know, was... Tamal Krishnamurti told me that Prabhupada said over and over again his entire last year, scientific preaching is my number one preaching program. But he also said in one morning walk, whether you preach or not, it will be finished. And I think Prabhupada said maybe 20 years. And it is. The budget for pure science at Oxford is going down to the same level as the budget for theology. because there's no practical result. It's all this mind games with extreme mathematical, you know, complications, you know, how to describe reality, but which has no practical application. Now the money's in engineering and new techniques in engineering, but fundamental theories of what is matter are changing, aren't doing much. And this is where Rasaraj, as far as I understand, is doing his work in his preaching. Okay? For example, the creation of nuclear weapons. Maya was also materialistic. Yeah. He knew the art of creating such wonderful things. And yet Lord Krishna wanted to kill him. When he was chased both by the fire and by the wheel of Lord Krishna, he took shelter of such a devotee as Arjuna, who saved him from the wrath of the fire of Lord Sri Krishna. So I couldn't find any references to that. Somebody maybe knows, as I remember, in the Bhagavatam at some point it's describing all these people coming to see Maharaj Parikshit or Yudhisthira. And one of the biographies is of Sudarshan. And I think it says that he was a gift, you know, of the fire god to Krishna. Devotees are therefore more merciful than the Lord. And in devotional service, the mercy of a devotee is more valuable than the mercy of the Lord. Both the fire and the Lord ceased from chasing the demon. As soon as both of them saw the demon was given shelter by a devotee as Arjuna. This demon, feeling obliged to Arjuna, wanted to do him some service to show his gratefulness. But Arjuna declined to accept anything from him in exchange. Lord Sri Krishna, however, being pleased with Maya for his taking shelter of a devotee, asked him to render some service unto Yudhisthira by building a wonderful assembly house. So in the translation of the Mahabharata I read, it says that Maya offered his obeisances to Arjuna and said, "Thank you, what can I do for you?" And then Arjuna said, "No, just your coming here and offering your thanks is enough. Now please, you just go wherever you like and don't worry about anything." But Maya said, "But no, I feel so obliged, let me do something." So Arjuna said, "Well, all right, you can ask Krishna what he wants, and that will certainly be satisfying to me." So said Krishna thought for some time, and he said, "Okay, you can build this assembly house for King Yudhisthira," which even after looking at it, you know, and sitting inside of it, nobody will be able to make a duplicate. And it should include all the marbles of the asuras, the suras, and the human beings, like that. So then it says that Maya, many cases with Sukracharya and others, the Kshatriyas were always very respectful. They didn't like try to deal with them like physically and everything else. In their turn, these brahmanas, even though they had some character faults like pride or things like that, they acted like brahmanas. And when they were defeated intellectually and verbally, they would accept defeat, you know, that kind of thing. And same as, you know, that was the way where the battle had to go on like that. So the brahmanas were the real leaders of society. In the end, amongst themselves, they would fight and establish the proper principle like that. You know. So Maya Dhanava respected, although Krishna was out to kill her. Yeah. Even Ashwatthama, he made too many mistakes for the son of a brahmana, so Krishna was also willing to kill him. Yeah. So in any case, Arjuna was willing to let him be treated respectfully, and when after he'd taken shelter of Arjuna, Krishna was also respectful. Yeah. So then he asked him to build his assembly house. And so in the Mahabharata, he said, "All right, that's a very nice task, but I'll come back on the so-and-so day of the moon. But right now I'm going to go to the north, where there's a great collection of building materials, gems and everything else, coral, ivory, and store for something like that. So if it's still there, I'll bring it back." So he came back, and yes, he had this great, you know, supply of building materials, and he went to work. Like that, and it's described in Indra. I think it was Indraprastha. Maybe he built all of Indraprastha. I'm not sure the whole point, but it's describing in great detail. You know, wonderful place. It's incredible. And of course, this is supposed to be written by savages on civilized people hundreds or thousands of years ago. Yeah. I mentioned before, my readings, the Britannica and stuff, the evolutionary theory is really losing a lot of weight. Even among scholars, they're accepting that, it isn't that we're so great and we're at the top of everything and people before us knew nothing. But no, they had many skills, and apparently we have to accept they had some technologies and stuff like that we don't know about. Yeah. And also, at least, technologies in terms of social behavior and theology and stuff, too, they weren't, lightweight hitters either. They also had many things there. Yeah. So the world's changing because of Prabhupada. Yeah. It takes time. Yeah. Our preaching, you may say something to somebody here and there, and just talk about things. You may live a proper life, proper comportment. And we don't know how, but it keeps on going out, because of the effulgence. So. The demon, feeling obliged, wanted to show his gratefulness. Krishna, however, being pleased with Maya for taking his shoulder of a devotee, asked him to render some service to Yudhisthira by building a wonderful assembly house. The process is that by the grace of a devotee, the mercy of the Lord is obtained. By the mercy and grace of the devotee. And by the mercy of the Lord, a chance to serve the devotee is obtained. And of course, that means the devotee will be pleased and will get more mercy. So it's like a spiral. The club was also a gift of Maya Danava. Demon saying his club. Die. So it's kind of a little, the purport and our thoughts about the purport. Maybe a couple more things maybe you wanted to bring up a little bit. But anybody have any questions or comments now about these things?
Just one second, George. Okay, I've unmuted everybody on free conferencing. There's a lot of free conferencing. And if anybody, Skype, free conferencing, either platforms, you want to ask a question, go ahead. Comments?
Somewhere in the distance, a dog howled.
There's actually a lot of devotees over here.
There's a question.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, who's this?
My name is Maharani Devi Dasi. I read in the Mahabharata, in the same place as this story, that the demon Maya also gave Krishna a conch shell called Devadatta. And I had previously thought that Krishna got his conch shell when he saved the son of his teacher, that little pastime right before he gets the son of Sandipani Muni back. So, do you know?
So, sometimes Krishna got those conch shells and he gave them to Balaram. There was a conch shell on the head of Shankarchuda. I think in the Krishna book it says he gave it to Balaram. And the conch shell he got from his saving the son of his teacher, that may have been the Panchanjanya. Yeah, which I think is Krishna's. The Devadatta went to somebody else, the Mani Pushpaka. So again, Krishna may have got it, but he may have given it to one of the Pandavas, because the Devadatta, I think, belongs to one of the Pandavas as described.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, Maharaj, if nobody's going to ask a question, then I will.
Okay.
Of course, we know the principle of Yukta Vairagya. We can use anything in Krishna service, so we're using everything. Like, we've got technology right now that we're using to communicate. So that's okay. But what if when the Krishna consciousness movement takes over the world, since these kind of modern technologies are actually should be demoniac, just like Maya Danava, so would it be better actually that they're all finished? If we're using a Krishna service, that's fine and good. But if we were actually able to take over the whole world and mold it however we like, would it be better that all of this technology ceased?
My impression is it's just like Prabhupada saying it's the material world, and so Maharaj Yudhisthira, Maharaj Parikshit gave Kali places where he could stay, but because of his potency, he was able to keep those places under control. If you take Southwest Airlines, for example, we would fly from Tennessee to San Jose or something. And it may land in Las Vegas and then take off again. So it just sits around the airplane. But it's really amusing because you're going across all this desert, and you know you're going down, and then you see there's Las Vegas coming. It's just right in the middle of nowhere, you know, with this artificial Eiffel Tower, artificial, you know, this and that, you know, artificial pyramid, 40 stories tall, and it's just like incredible, you know. And it's just like, what do you call it, Bilba Swarga, subterranean heavenly planets, and you can stay inside of there for forever. And never see the light of the sun. You know, just go around. And 24 hours a day, there's clubs, things playing, and spas, and, you know, everything you want to do, you know. Drinking, eating, you know. All the four principles are broken in a systematic fashion. You know? And so it's just like that. But then the plane goes off. And so it's like, actually, there's one, what is it, one phrase I've heard that people, there's this phrase that whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. So it's like... I would say the same thing. It's just that, you know, we would, if we were in control of the world, probably there'd still probably be some people, you know, with this kind of consciousness. So it would be like that. It would be like, you know, controlled and isolated. And again, it depends on what people want. If they want to accept Lord Chaitanya's mercy, okay. If they don't want to, 50%, 40%, 60%, 80%, you know, then, you know, we'll call it the Maya Dhanava's architecture will decrease, and Vishnu Karma's architecture will increase. You know, that's what I would say. That everything has its position, and then okay, some people they won't learn any other way, even with Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So okay, then let them at least be regulated enough to follow, you know, the Asura principles, because by doing that they'll be able to, you know, make some advancement.
Okay.
Raj, you think it's possible that regarding archaeology and trying to gain scientific evidence to bygone ages, that those elements may not be accessible to us because perhaps they were more subtle? Our senses are perhaps more gross, or the way in which the earth, water, fire, air, ether are combined in this age of Kali is such that we, with our sensory apparatus, we're unable to perceive what matter from back in previous ages, especially Satya Yuga.
Yeah, I agree. You know, again, I give the example, like if you have a nice apple and you put it in the desert and you come back like about 3 months later, and you find this little black rock, you know, and that's your apple. Hard as a rock, black, doesn't look big and red. And also places that were far apart have now come close together, and other things got lost, and it wrinkles. So that's what I understand happens from Dwapara Yuga to, yeah, the Yugas, as you compress, then the whole material energy, Govardhan is not like, you know, 100 kilometers long. Govardhan is like, I don't know, 10 kilometers long, and the potency of mantras is less, and these different places have disappeared when, you know, when the wrinkles come. So yeah, but still there's the apples there, and you can look at it and make an examination. Yeah, this is what this place was, certainly matches up with what should have been here and where it was, and this is the apple I left here, you know.
I was thinking perhaps the apple could still be there, but we're unable to perceive the apple. Not that the apple's atrophied necessarily. Just like, for example, there's beautiful music going through my property right now, and beautiful video, et cetera, but I'm not able to perceive it because I don't have a television or a radio to tune those things in. And perhaps with my senses, as gross as they are in the age of Kali, I'm able to can only see a certain frequency of light and hear a certain frequency of sound, et cetera, that there may be artifacts there, but they're not accessible to us in this age.
I would agree too. I mean, maybe to some degree, some of them are gone, some of them remain. Like in the four yugas, I've heard Prabhupada said that on Swarga, from the point of view of the demigod Swarga, The Kali Yuga looks like a cloud passing over the sky on a spring day. You go out, it's a nice spring day, fresh air, you get a chance to go out, not locked in the house. It's very nice. A little bit cold, you look up, oh, there's a cloud passing over. But you don't even bother to go back because she's going to be gone in a minute. So point of view, the demigods, yeah, these subtle things all exist. And, you know, if you want to go down to our level, then they're not manifest, you know. But ultimately, everything's within Brahma Loka. We're all in Brahma Loka. And everything's within that. You know. So, yeah, I agree. Yeah, they're here. But maybe, again, it's harder to get to them like that. And maybe some of them aren't here. You know, some of them don't exist in our realm like that. They aren't just kind of driven out, you know, like that. Yeah.
Just like, for example, if at present we were somehow able to transport ourselves through gross apparatus to say a heavenly planet, and we could arrive there and all kinds of heavenly activities are going on, but we wouldn't perceive anything.
Oh, it's like a deaf person coming in listening to a class.
Exactly. Or a blind person, and there's, you know, such beautiful scenery, but you just can't see it. We're locked out of it. It's not accessible to us.
It's interesting, in the list of incarnations, it mentions Buddha, and it says that he came to destroy the atheists who were flying to different planets on the spaceships given by Maya, and killing the people. And Prabhupada said, that Jiva Goswami said, this is a different Buddha and a different, you know, Divya Yuga. But it was all happening in Kali Yuga. So yeah, you know, Maya can give potencies by which we can travel to celestial levels. If we're willing to give up our cigarettes, I guess. I don't know if you can take your cigarettes and still, you know, function on that level. You got to go for a different kind of smoke. Yeah. Let me do one more thing real quick here. If we go on our Veda-based thing here, chapter 15. Okay. Chapter 15:1, it says, Arjuna, the celebrated friend of Lord Krishna, was grief-stricken because of his strong feeling of separation from Krishna. Over and above all the Maharaj Yudhishthira's speculative inquiries. Due to grief, Arjuna's mouth and lotus-like heart had dried up. Therefore, his body lost all luster. Now, remembering the Supreme Lord, he could hardly utter a word. So, Arjuna was really impacted by this whole situation. And when Yudhishthira, but it seems to me like he avoided, you know, going into samadhi and leaving the world, which no longer had Krishna's presence, until he did his duty of coming back and telling Yudhishthira what had happened properly. And then when he came back, he said he checked his tears and began to remember Lord Krishna. Then in 15:5, it starts describing all these things about all of Krishna's relationships with them, Maharaj Draupada, the story with the Kanava forest, how Jarasandha was defeated, you know, how Draupadi was insulted, Durvasa Muni was prevented from cursing them by Krishna's mercy, you know, all these things. So basically what he's doing is Lila Shmaranam, and specifically his personal pastime with Krishna. The gopis were doing their duty in the house, little girls. They heard Krishna's flute from the forest, and they began to then talk softly to each other about Krishna so nobody could hear but them. And then they begin to remember each of their individual pastimes with Krishna. Oh, Krishna's playing that song he made just for me. Oh, Krishna's thinking about me. So they couldn't even talk perfectly amongst themselves. So three levels of activity. External activity under Varnashram relations, okay. Personal association amongst devotees. And then confidential relationship with Krishna on the spiritual platform. Yeah. So this Lila Smaranam, Arjuna is remembering things, pastimes that were very specific to his relationship with Krishna. And of course we have all these. We remember different things, different challenges and triumphs in Krishna consciousness. You know, many times, I'm sure, I mean, so many times I go over different traumatic experiences I've had with devotees. And I try and rerun the experience with a better, you know, storyline in my mind. And I can see when I run into situations, similar situations in the future, all that smaranam, it does allow me to deal with those situations much better, you know, like that. So it can get us liberated. But now what it's doing with Arjuna is it's stimulating his bhava, his sthayi bhava, to such an extent that he loses contact. If we go down here to text number, okay, he especially remembers Bhagavad Gita. It describes all Krishna the Pandavas, what happened, the Yadus. In 1528, thus being deeply absorbed in thinking of the instructions of the Lord, which were imparted in great intimacy of friendship, and in thinking of his lotus feet, Arjuna's mind became pacified and free from all material contamination. Arjuna's constant remembrance of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna rapidly increased his devotion, and as a result, all the trash in his thoughts subsided. Because of the Lord's pastimes and activities, and because of his absence, it appeared that Arjuna forgot the instructions left by the personality of Godhead. But factually, this was not the case, and again he became lord of his senses. Because of his possessing spiritual assets, the doubts of duality were completely cut off. Thus he was free from the three modes of material nature and placed in transcendence. There was no longer any chance of becoming entangled in birth and death, for he was freed from material form. Okay, so it's finished. Not going to come back. External body may be there, some little attention for it, minimal effort to deal with maybe some final relationships, go to the Himalayas. Then Yudhisthira, okay, he did his duty. He put somebody in charge here, put somebody in charge there. Then he also did the same thing. Earlier, we've seen how Bhishmadev also did Lila Smaranam to go into the same samadhi. And so this is we have to practice this to be able to do it different times. You know, when we have time for our japa, that japa should also be come to the point of Lila Smaranam. If we're chanting Krishna's name, then we should think of Krishna's form. We should want to sit in front of the deity whom we're chanting. And once the form is there, nama rupa, then we should be conscious of the qualities, the character of the form. Happy, friendly, unhappy, pleased, and anxiety, brave. And then nama rupa charit. And then after that, sangha. We'll start to appreciate how Krishna is always with his associates. And lila. And that's everything. So our shravanam kirtanam, our japa, has to come to that point, you know, of smaranam, of conscious of Krishna, his name, form, pastimes, activities. And then it penetrates the heart, purifies it, and then the contamination in our sensory apparatus and everything is removed. And then we can see everything we see. Now we see, oh, Krishna is doing that, Krishna is doing that, Krishna is doing that. This side is these devata, this side of that demigod. Yeah, all the vastu becomes very, very natural. So at that point, we live in Krishna Loka. And we realize this whole material world, this whole Brahmanda, is just one part of Krishna Loka. You know? And now, everything we do is full of deep significance. That's vastu. There's vastu for your desk. There's vastu for your room. There's vastu for your house. There's vastu for your yard. There's vastu for your city. There's vastu for your nation. And like that, when you put something in a certain place on your desk, you feel the harmony and the echo with the universe, like that. And so then you can go, if it's proper, you know, it takes you to a very deep level. So it's vastu veda. So that's what this chapter, I was just going to make at that point, it impressed me that, again, it's a very good example of lila smaranam. And we can just recite these prayers, you know, these in Sanskrit, whatever, of Arjuna. It's a nice smarna. If you like this smarna, you can do this. Or Bhishmadev's. Kunti, in her prayers, has also the same thing, a recollection of Krishna's pastimes. Uddhava, in the third canto, has two chapters of recollections. So these are like little Krishna books and stuff like that for chanting, remembering on a regular basis. To get purified, and then if we're supposed to stay in this world and do our work, okay, but we've got ourselves free from the temporary contamination like that. So any comments or questions or final points like that?
Really, nobody else has any questions. This is your opportunity. Maharaj only gives once a week.
Nobody. My goodness.
Maharaj, I was thinking, is that similar to the Nectar of Instruction where it talks about those five stages?
Verse number 8.
I think that's, yeah.
Yeah.
Were you going through that list, or is it just a coincidence that it's the same list?
No, it's the same thing. It's all connected, like it's Shravana Dasha, Shravana Varana, yeah. I think that comes from one of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's books. And Bhaktisiddhanta is, you know, kind of summarizing it. But the same thing, I think the first one is, I think what is Shravana? First is somehow or other, you're just like hearing about Krishna. Your girlfriend takes you to the Hare Krishna temple on Sunday because she doesn't want to go alone. You go, food's good, you know. Okay. And she kind of loses interest, but now you become a devotee, you know, much to her horror. Oh, my God. So in the beginning, you're just going somehow or other. And it's like, you know, putting a dry sponge into water. You put it in, pull it out, still dry, you know. But if you just hold it there, well, Kapila Dev says that in his yoga, hold it there. Keep the focus. Stay on the level of Vasudeva Sattva. Chant your rounds in pure goodness by any mechanical trick you can do. And at some point, you'll see it penetrates. And that's the stage of acceptance, which I think is called Dasha? Whatever it is. Varana Dasha, whatever it is. The next level, described there in the purport to text number 8 of Upadeshamrita. So at that point, it makes sense. It starts to be, you know, the aha experience. It starts to connect up and stimulate something very profound in you, and everything integrated. Then you go on, and it comes to the point where it becomes uninterrupted. Everything you're doing is like you've really got your Vaidhi Bhakti down, where all week long, everything, you can always stay, in spite of any obstacles, in a Krishna conscious integrated package, and you're always remembering Krishna. You know? And then it starts to become more intense, where you're remembering Krishna, but now you can really focus, you know. Before you were like just washing the paraphernalia after the noon artik, but now you're washing the paraphernalia and listening to, you know, what do you call it, one section from the Krishna book every day while you're doing it, you know. And so, and also simultaneously, you're heating up the ghee for the ghee wicks. So, like that, it starts to become more concentrated, uninterrupted, concentrated, and then it starts to expand until the whole world is just full of, you know, Krishna consciousness. And explaining that by Varna Dasha, then it describes just briefly the different levels of recollection, absorption, one after another. Anyway, Krishna books are around my tether. It's around my neck, so I'll just pull it out right here. I'm turning it over. Okay. Krishna Smaranam. Yes. Okay. By hearing the transcendental holy name of Krishna and hearing of his transcendental form, qualities, pastimes, one can attain a stage of acceptance called Varna Dasha. When one attains this stage, he becomes attached to hearing Krishna Katha. This sounds like Anartanavritti Nishta Ruchi. Ruchi, Asaktis, that's attached. When one is able to chant in ecstasy, he attains the stage of Smarana Avastha. The stage of remembering, which is Smaranam, huh? Which I guess is kind of Bhava. The stage of remembering. Recollection, absorption, meditation, constant remembrance, and trance are the five items of progressive Krishna Smaranam. Of course, there's no details. At first, remembrance of Krishna may be interrupted at intervals, but later remembrance becomes uninterrupted. When remembrance is uninterrupted, it becomes concentrated and is called meditation. So we've gone through recollection, absorption, and meditation. Recollection sounds like the interrupted one. Absorption sounds like the uninterrupted one. And now when it becomes intense, it's being called meditation. When meditation expands, it becomes constant. Okay. The Prabhupada calls that constant remembrance. It is called anusmriti. By uninterrupted and unceasing anusmriti, one enters a stage of samadhi or spiritual trance. After Smarana Dasha, or Samadhi, has fully developed, the soul comes to understand his original constitutional position. At that time, he can perfectly and clearly understand his eternal relationship with Krishna. This is called Sampati Dasha, the stage of the perfection of life. So for me, this kind of indicates the thing that we're going back, you know, back to Godhead, remembering our original position. Of course, there are other complicated arguments about this. But in any case, yeah, we revive our knowledge of our eternal relationship with Krishna. And so we have to go through that. You know, we should be trying to do that. If we got our basic Vaidhi Bhakti kind of down, if we know this happens, that happens, we can adjust this way, we can adjust that way. Okay, we got our priorities always in mind, we got our alternatives, and our Vaidhi Bhakti worked out. Okay, we can constantly stay there, and now we got to start reciting different prayers. We got to chant in the mood of the Shikshastaka. We got to figure out which prayers we want to focus on. Take shelter of Bhishma Dev prayers, Kunti Dev, Kunti's prayers, you know. Or, of course, in very advanced, we can take shelter of the prayers of the gopis. But but that's kind of like maybe after 100 million lifetimes of taking birth in ISKCON, we'll actually do our smarna on the pastimes of the gopis. You know. But maybe in the beginning we get some taste, or maybe somebody's ready. I don't know. Okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, okay. Maharaj.
Madan, that's okay?
Yeah, that was perfect. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much, Maharaj, for your association. It's always very purifying.
The same for me. Maybe we can work out this WebEx thing sometime, like, too, you know?
If you'd like to, if Ramananda would like to give it a try, I'd be happy to donate the funds for that.
Maharaj, the thing is that we're getting people from all over the world, and they would have to call in. I doubt if many people would actually call in on the telephone. And if you do a toll-free number, you pay 7.5 cents, but the calculation is about, with the classes we do morning and evening with about 3 dozen devotees, it would be about 64,000 minutes times 7 cents. It really adds up. You know, we're talking about like $1,000 a month. But
so you investigated the WebEx thing?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought the same thing too. For the basic 25 people, there's no charge. Then after that, to get the free conferencing call, could also okay. Anyway, we can check on it. But I have other facilities too. Yeah. But anyway, always looking. Wow, because it's nice you can show the PowerPoint for things and everything else and show the verses. That's so nice, like that. Yeah. Okay, so thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you, everyone, for your association. Hey, Ball.
Hey, Ball.
Hi there, I'm sorry.